Right, so we're back and ready to dive back into those amazing Dead Sea Scrolls, picking up where we left off in part two, and still using Dr. Jeffrey Hinton's biblical archaeology lectures as our guide.
Right.
Last time we really got into the discovery itself, you know, but now it's time to look at what happened after those scrolls were pulled from those caves.
Absolutely, because that discovery was just the beginning of the story, really.
Right.
What came after that was this monumental effort to try to put all these fragmented texts back together.
Yeah.
And it's a story that's just chock full of fascinating characters and tons of scholarly intrigue.
It really makes you wonder,
how
do you even start to make sense of all those thousands of ancient fragments?
Right.
I mean, it's like someone took a 2,000-year-old jigsaw puzzle and just dumped it out on the table.
Well, that's where our friend Roland Devaux comes in.
Yep.
He was this French priest and archaeologist, and he was already working on excavations near the Dead Sea. And so when the scrolls were found, he was the one that was tasked with putting together a team of experts to take on this huge, unprecedented challenge.
So this was like a serious thing.
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't just some casual book club meeting.
Not at all.
What kind of obstacles did they face?
Well, there were a lot.
Okay.
I mean, you got to remember, this is the mid-20th century. The political climate was really tense, which kept Israeli scholars from being involved at the very beginning.
Oh, wow.
And plus, they had to deal with Bedouin treasure hunters.
Oh, right.
Not to mention just the sheer volume of these super fragile pieces.
Right.
Just imagine the pressure.
It's mind-boggling. And then on top of all that, I was reading that even John D. Rockefeller got involved with the funding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big deal when Rockefeller himself is stepping in.
Exactly.
But tell me more about these scholars, this scroll squad, as I like to call them.
Okay.
What were they like?
Well, each one of them was a total character in their own right.
Okay.
Take, for example, Frank Moorcross.
Mm-hmm.
A brilliant young guy who could practically tell you when a text was written just by looking at the handwriting.
Wow.
And then there was Joseph Millick, the fastest man with a scroll fragment, they called him.
Okay.
Known for working with a cigarette constantly dangling from his lips right over these ancient scrolls.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
They let them smoke over the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
That seems a little bit risky.
Oh, for sure.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, conservation practices were totally different back then. I mean, they used scotch tape on the fragments.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Thankfully, things have evolved quite a bit since then.
Yeah.
But it really shows you the human side of this whole story, you know?
Right.
These weren't just some academic robots. They were brilliant minds, for sure.
Yeah.
But with all the quirks and flaws that come with being human.
Yeah. That makes you wonder what those scholarly debates must have been like.
Oh, I'm sure.
Speaking of strong personalities, Dr. Hudon mentioned John Strugnell.
Yeah.
Who seemed to be quite a controversial figure.
Yeah. John Strugnell, he was incredibly brilliant without a doubt, but his own personal struggles with alcoholism.
Yeah.
And then some controversial comments about Judaism led to him eventually being removed from the project.
Wow.
A really sad ending to a story that also included him playing a key role in getting those Israeli scholars involved that were initially excluded.
Yeah.
A man full of contradictions, you could say.
Yeah, it really sounds like an academic drama was unfolding.
Oh, yeah.
But in the midst of all of this, we have to talk about the Essenes.
Right.
The community that many believe is behind the scrolls.
Exactly.
Can you give us just a bit of background on them?
Sure.
Who are these people?
Okay, so to understand the Essenes, we need to sort of zoom out and look at the whole Jewish landscape of the time.
Okay.
During the Second Temple period, there were a few big important Jewish sects.
Okay.
Like the Pharisees, who were known for strictly following Jewish law.
Yeah.
Sadducees.
Right.
The priestly elite who didn't always get along with the Pharisees. And then you had the Zealots.
Okay.
Who wanted to fight back against Roman rule.
Right.
And then along with all those, you had the Essenes.
Okay. So you had lots of different interpretations of Judaism going on.
Yeah.
What made the Essenes stand out from all the rest?
Well, they were like the ultimate purists.
Okay.
They were convinced that the temple in Jerusalem had become corrupt.
Mm.
And they believed that to be truly spiritually pure, you needed to completely separate yourself from all that perceived corruption.
Wow.
So they went off and retreated to the desert.
Okay.
They lived communally embraced poverty and did a lot of ritual bathing.
Okay.
They were really deeply spiritual and waiting for a Messiah to come who would bring about a new era.
Wow. Living on the edge of the desert.
Yeah.
Waiting for the apocalypse. That's intense.
It was.
It makes me think about John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Wasn't he connected to the desert too? and preaching about a coming Messiah? Could there be a link there?
Well, that's a great question and one that scholars have been thinking about for a long time. Right. While there's no absolute proof, there are some really interesting theories out there that suggest John the Baptist might have been involved with a group that was very similar to the Essenes.
Okay.
For example, they both really emphasize ritual purity.
Right.
With the Essenes all about those ritual baths and John practicing baptism.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a possible connection there.
Yeah, but if they were both waiting for a Messiah, why didn't the Essenes just embrace Jesus?
Right.
Weren't they active in the same area at around the same time?
That is the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it points to some key differences between what the Essenes believed and what the early Christians believed.
Okay.
The Essenes did expect a Messiah to come, but the Messiah they were looking for was going to be a warrior king.
Interesting.
Someone who would lead them to victory in a huge cosmic battle of good versus evil.
Okay, so that's very different from the image of Jesus.
Preaching
about love and forgiveness.
Yeah, it sounds like they were both tuned into the same frequency, but listening to totally different channels.
Well, exactly, and it makes you think. What if their paths had crossed more directly?
Right.
What if the Essenes had said, yes, Jesus is the Messiah we were waiting for?
Yeah.
I mean, how would history have played out differently?
Who knows?
That is a really fascinating thought.
Absolutely.
And it looks like we've got a lot more to unpack here. Yeah. So don't go anywhere, folks. We're just getting started.
Right.
We'll be back soon with part two of our deep dive into the amazing world of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Welcome back to our Dead Sea Scrolls deep dive.
So last time, we kind of left off with this big question. What if the Essenes had decided to follow Jesus as the Messiah?
Yeah, that's a really interesting what if to think about in history.
It really is.
But, you know, even without that direct connection, just learning about the Essenes really helps us understand the world that Jesus was living in.
A world that was just full of all these different ways of thinking about faith and prophecy.
Right. It definitely wasn't just one way of thinking back then.
Nope. Not at all.
So besides that whole warrior king Messiah idea versus the suffering servant Messiah, what else made the Essenes different?
Well,
especially compared to early Christians.
Okay, so both groups really valued communal living. And both of them put a big emphasis on being spiritually pure.
Right.
But for the Essenes, that whole purity thing, it went way beyond just the spiritual side of things.
Okay.
It was a huge part of everything they did in their daily lives.
You're talking about all those ritual baths, right?
Exactly.
Dr. Hewden mentioned those in his lectures. Kind of seems a bit obsessive.
Well, maybe from our modern point of view.
Yeah.
But for the Essenes, ritual purity was their way of connecting with God.
Interesting.
It was how they prepared themselves for the coming of the Messiah.
Okay.
And all those mikvahs, you know.
Those ritual baths.
Yeah, all those ritual baths they had at Qumran really showed just how important this was to them. They really believed that immersing themselves in water cleansed them, not just physically, but spiritually too.
So it wasn't just about being clean, it was symbolic.
Exactly.
Speaking of symbolic things, didn't they also have some pretty specific rules about bodily functions?
Oh, yeah, they did.
I remember Dr. Hewden mentioning something about that.
Yeah, Josephus, the Jewish historian from the first century, he talks about how the Essenes considered Jerusalem so holy that they wouldn't even go to the bathroom inside the city walls.
Wow.
I know, it's kind of funny to imagine.
Yeah.
But he actually describes a gate called the Essene Gate.
Okay.
That was near their neighborhood. And they would all rush out of this gate to a certain spot whenever nature called.
I gotta admit, that's a pretty funny image in my head.
Yeah.
These super religious Essenes just running for the city limits.
It is funny.
But it's also really amazing to think that archaeology actually backs this up.
It does.
So they actually found this Essene gate.
They did.
That's so cool.
Excavations back in the 1980s uncovered a few gateways exactly where Josephus said they would be. And guess what?
What?
They found mikvehs nearby, too.
No way.
So it's even more evidence that there really was an Essene quarter right there in Jerusalem.
That's incredible. So it's not just about dusty old artifacts.
Right.
Archaeology can actually bring those ancient stories to life.
It does.
Even the kind of embarrassing ones.
Exactly.
It reminds us that they were real people too. You know, with their own daily routines and beliefs.
Yeah, they weren't just names in a history book.
Right. And speaking of beliefs.
Yeah.
Their writings and the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Right.
give us even more glimpses into their whole worldview.
For sure.
What else do they reveal about how the Essenes lived and what they thought?
Well, there's this mysterious figure called the Teacher of Righteousness, who's a really important character in their writings. Mm-hmm. He was probably a founder or a major leader.
Okay.
But his real identity is still a big mystery.
Wow. It's like a historical thriller.
It really is.
I love a good mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're talking about mysteries.
Okay.
What about those theories that say the scrolls have hidden messages?
Interesting.
Or even clues to lost treasures?
Those are fun theories, aren't they?
Right. That would be incredible.
It would be.
Well, some scholars think certain texts might have some kind of secret language.
Yeah.
Or maybe they refer to historical events, but in a really hidden way.
Right.
But there's not really much solid evidence for that.
Yeah.
And as for lost treasure,
well,
let's just say it's a great story.
It really captures the imagination.
It really does. But even without secret codes and buried treasure,
yeah,
the scrolls are still an amazing source of information.
Absolutely.
They give us such a unique perspective on what Judaism was like back then during the Second Temple period.
Right. They show us just how diverse Jewish thought was at the time, mm-hmm. and they help us see more clearly the world that Jesus and his followers were living in.
Yeah.
And we can even see some of their beliefs reflected in early Christian practices.
Right.
It just highlights how all these ideas were mixing and influencing each other during this time.
So the scrolls aren't just about the Essenes.
Right.
They help us understand the whole context of early Christianity, too.
Exactly.
It's like we have a backstage pass to one of those important moments in religious history.
It is kind of like that.
So it's not really about a direct connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about understanding the bigger picture.
Right.
The whole tapestry of beliefs and ideas that were around at that time.
Exactly. The scrolls show us a Judaism that was on the verge of something new.
Yeah.
They were wrestling with the same big questions that would go on to shape Christianity. Yeah. Questions like, what does it truly mean to be faithful?
Mm-hmm.
How should we understand prophecy?
Right.
And what role do rituals have in our lives?
It's almost like the Essenes unintentionally set the stage for the spread of Christian ideas.
That's a really interesting way to think about it.
Both groups put a lot of importance on community living spiritual purity and really studying the scriptures.
Right. And those shared values might have made it easier for early Christians to connect with people who were already familiar with Essene teachings.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just fascinating to consider how these seemingly separate paths ended up influencing each other.
Yeah.
And how they shaped the course of religious history.
It makes me think about that question we keep coming back to.
Yeah.
What if the Essenes had seen Jesus as their Messiah?
Right.
Would early Christianity have turned out differently?
Maybe.
Would it have spread as quickly?
It's really hard to know for sure.
Yeah.
But it definitely gets you thinking.
It does. Perhaps the Essene movement would have just become part of the growing Christian community. Or maybe their differences would have led to a whole different kind of Christian faith.
That's true. History's full of what ifs.
It really is.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls give us this amazing chance to really explore those possibilities.
Yeah. But even without those hypothetical situations, the scrolls are just this incredible reminder of the power of ideas.
They are.
And how they can last for centuries.
Absolutely. They show us that history isn't just a bunch of names and dates.
Yeah.
It's a living story full of human experiences, beliefs, and struggles.
Right. And it's through exploring these fragments,
yeah,
these echoes of the past,
right,
that we can really start to understand ourselves and our place in the world.
Well said.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
I think that brings us to the end of our Dead Sea Scrolls deep dive.
Wow.
What a journey it's been.
Yeah.
Full of scholarly intrigue, ancient bathroom habits, and all these mind-blowing historical what-ifs.
It has been quite a ride.
It really has.
But it's just the beginning of your own exploration.
Yeah.
So keep asking those questions. Keep looking for those hidden connections.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, keep diving deep.
Until next time, fellow deep divers, keep exploring. Okay, so welcome back to our final part of this Dead Sea Scrolls deep dive. And I gotta say, I'm still thinking about those Essenes sprinting out of Jerusalem, you know, when they needed a bathroom break.
Well, it definitely is a pretty memorable image.
Mm.
But, you know, bathroom humor aside, I think there's a really important point here.
Okay.
These weren't just like characters in a story, you know?
Right.
These were real people who were really wrestling with big questions about their faith and about what it meant to be pure.
Right.
And, you know, their struggles are actually pretty similar in some ways to what early Christians were going through.
Okay. So we talked about, you know, that whole warrior king messiah versus the suffering servant messiah thing, and about how important purity was to the Essenes.
Right.
But how does all that connect to the bigger picture? You know,
okay.
How does it connect to the bigger picture of early Christianity?
Well, remember that whole idea of this bustling marketplace of different beliefs that we were talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, the Arians were just one voice in this big chorus of all these different ways of understanding Judaism.
Okay.
And their writings and the Dead Sea Scrolls, they give us a window into that world.
Right.
They show us the landscape that Jesus and his followers were living in and dealing with.
So it's less about like a straight line connection.
Yeah.
And more about getting a sense of the context.
Right.
Of all the different beliefs and ideas that were floating around at that time.
Exactly. The scrolls show us a Judaism that was really at a turning point. You know, they were struggling with those same big questions that would end up shaping Christianity.
Okay, like what kinds of questions?
Well, questions like, what does it really mean to be a true believer?
Okay.
How do we understand and interpret all these prophecies?
Right.
And how important are rituals in our lives?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's almost like you could say that the Essenes, even though they didn't mean to, sort of laid some of the groundwork for Christian ideas to spread.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, because both groups were all about community living, spiritual purity,
right,
and a deep understanding of the scriptures.
So you're saying that those shared values might have made it easier for those early Christians to connect with people,
yeah,
who were already familiar with some of the things that the Essenes were teaching.
Exactly. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It is.
How all these different paths that seem so separate ended up influencing each other, and how they ended up shaping religious history.
It really is. It makes me think about that question we keep coming back to.
Yeah.
That what if?
That big what if.
What if the Essenes had said, you know what?
Yeah.
We do believe that Jesus is the Messiah we've been waiting for.
What would have happened then?
Right. Would early Christianity have been different?
It's hard to say.
Would it have spread as fast?
Who knows?
It's so interesting to think about.
It is. Maybe the Essene movement would have just merged with the growing Christian community.
Right.
Or maybe because of their differences, it would have led to a whole different kind of Christianity.
Wow, that's mind-blowing. History is full of these what-ifs.
It really is.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls give us this amazing chance to really explore them.
They do. But even without all the hypotheticals,
yeah,
the scrolls are just this incredible reminder of how powerful ideas can be.
I agree. They remind us that history isn't just a list of names and dates.
Right.
It's this amazing story.
It's a tapestry.
It's a tapestry full of real human experiences,
yeah,
beliefs, and struggles.
Exactly.
And it's by looking at these fragments, these pieces of the past, that we can really start to understand ourselves,
right,
and our place in the world.
So well said.
That was beautiful. I think that about wraps up our Dead Sea Scrolls deep dive.
Wow, what a journey.
What a journey full of scholarly debates and ancient bathroom habits.
I know, right?
And all those incredible historical what-ifs.
It's been amazing.
It really has. Mm. But this is just the beginning of your own exploration.
It is. Keep asking those questions. Keep looking for those connections. Mm.
And most importantly, never stop diving deep.
That's right. Until next time, fellow deep divers, keep exploring.